I wasn't gonna make a part two. I was gonna go on with my life, maybe get into bird watching or soap making. But here we are. Because apparently, when you post a video gently suggesting that the US might be collapsing under the weight of its own stupidity, people have opinions. A lot of them. And some of those opinions are, what's the word, terrifying. So if you haven't seen the original video I made titled The Death of Intelligence, you can find it easily on this channel. Okay, let's buckle up. Now, look, I'm truly grateful for all the feedback. I mean, really, it's been amazing. Even the guy who called me a soy-based nihilist doom clown, or whatever it was, I'm paraphrasing. I mean, hilarious. I definitely laughed out loud, but also inaccurate and kind of harsh. I digress. So this time, we're going to go a little deeper. This isn't just about the vibe of dumbness anymore. We're going to dig deeper into where this anti-intellectualism comes from, historically, psychologically, and systemically. We're going to talk about the false equivalency thing, the one where people said, "How dare you imply that both political parties are contributing to this?" Well, you're right. I mean, they're not contributing equally, but also that's not the point. We'll get there. And yes, we'll address the people upset about the Reddit versus epidemiology thing. I still believe science wins, but I get it. Greed ruins everything, even truth. But more on that in a bit. And finally, we need to talk about the hundreds of people who dropped Dunning-Kruger effect in the comments, like they just discovered the holy grail of human psychology. Which, to be fair, they kind of did because it explains a lot. But when everyone thinks everyone else is the Dunning-Kruger person, yeah, we're still in a pile of trouble. So let's rewind. Let's take this back, not to the birth of civilization. That's a different video. But to the actual historical roots of anti-intellectualism. Because this isn't new. In fact, Richard Hofstadter, Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, wrote a book called Anti-Intellectualism in American Life. He wrote this way back in 1963, which, by the way, I highly recommend reading. So that was over 60 years ago. This isn't some new TikTok trend where people think facts are elitist and everything smells like lavender vape and despair. This has roots, ugly, tangled, generational roots. So, Hofstadter traced anti-intellectualism through American culture like a coroner detailing the cause of death. He pointed out how early American Protestantism already distrusted intellectual elites. And the thinking was something like, we don't need your fancy Harvard degrees. Just give us the Bible and a pitchfork and we'll figure it out. Now, in some ways, that attitude of instinct over intellect, it never really left. And don't get me wrong, instinct, it's a very useful mechanism in short-term contexts. but it doesn't really function as a long-term strategic intellectual system, which is what you need for a functioning society. So, in the 19th and early 20th century, the US industrialized, but the working class wasn't exactly encouraged to think critically. They were trained to obey, repeat, and of course, consume. And intelligence became a liability in factories and eventually in politics. And when the Cold War era arrived, intellectuals were even seen as dangerous, subversive, communist adjacent eggheads. People who thought too much were accused of being un-American. And God forbid, you don't want to be un-American. That's worse than being French. Just kidding. No disrespect to the French. But here's the kicker. This wasn't just a spontaneous cultural shift, it was engineered. Propaganda, media consolidation, corporate influence, these things didn't just accidentally make people stupider. It was more efficient to keep people emotionally reactive and intellectually passive. And critical thinking doesn't sell Bud Light or get you to buy five Snuggies at 3 a.m. So now we're swimming in that soup, drowning in it, really. We have a society built on algorithms that reward anger, echo chambers that reinforce our own ignorance, and we have leaders who literally brag about not reading books. It's not that people can't think, it's that they're constantly punished for trying. And that's where we are. A culture that simultaneously demands expertise and then mocks it, that screams, do your own research, but never reads past the headline, that hates elites, but only the ones who read things. Okay, so let's talk about the two-party system, because apparently I touched a nerve last time by saying that both political parties are contributing to the dumbification of society. Some people said, whoa, 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 false equivalency. One side is clearly worse. And listen, I get that. I really do. One side might want to burn books and ban facts, while the other side just wants to sell tote bags and emails about how they're fighting for democracy while quietly selling you out to BlackRock. But here's what I was actually saying. This isn't about who's winning the race to the bottom. It's about the fact that they're both competing in it in the first place. Because the moment we start treating either party like a religious institution or like a brand we're loyal to no matter what, well, you're not really a citizen anymore. You're just a customer. And they've got you in the funnel. The whole thing is rigged to make you pick a team. You hate the other team and never really ask why both teams are being funded by the same 12 billionaires. And the media feeds off this. Social platforms thrive on it. And of course, the politicians love it because as long as you're screaming at the other side, you're not looking at them as culprits. This is classic divide and conquer. Keep the population so angry at each other that they don't notice the floor is on fire. You want to know why intelligence is dying? It's not just about education or TikTok or lead paint in the water. It's that we've built a political and media landscape that rewards emotional reactivity over critical thinking. This means we're living in a machine that eats nuance for breakfast and shits out hashtags by lunch. And that leads me to one of the more controversial points from part one. The idea that you might want to trust a trained epidemiologist over a guy who did his own research on Reddit between rounds of Call of Duty. Now, some people really hated that. They thought I was defending Big Pharma or Big Science TM or the Deep State or possibly the lizard people who run the CDC from inside a fabricated, hollowed-out moon base. I don't know. But let me be clear. I place little trust in corporate science. I don't have a lot of faith at all in billion-dollar companies telling me the truth. I've seen what greed does to the truth and to people, and I've seen what it does to the price of insulin. But I also don't trust a guy named DankFreedom420 on a message board who thinks he's unlocked the secret to cancer with turmeric and good vibes. So here's the difference. Science is a method. It's not a corporation. It's not a pharmaceutical executive. It's not a Reddit thread. It's a system designed to be questioned, but also tested, peer-reviewed, and revised when needed. Now, does it get corrupted sometimes? Absolutely. Because everything made by humans is corruptible. But here's the uncomfortable truth. We have to live in a society with standards. We have to be able to say, yes, this person studied this thing for 20 years and has credentials, and this other person read these three articles on Facebook and should not be performing heart surgery. Because if we can't do that, if we don't do that, then we don't have a society anymore. We basically have chaos cosplay. It's like your house is on fire and you call 911 and some guy shows up in flip-flops holding a garden hose. And he says, I saw some YouTube videos. I got this. Now, would you trust him? Even if he was extremely passionate and convincing of his abilities? No? Then maybe we should stop acting like every opinion is equally valid in fields that require actual training. Okay. Now, here's something that surprised me, though maybe it shouldn't have. A ton of people commented from outside the US saying something like, hey, just so you know, we're getting dumber over here, too. And I appreciate the honesty because nothing brings the world together quite like shared existential dread and a trauma bond. This isn't just a problem in the US. The death of intelligence is global. It's in the atmosphere or maybe the algorithm. Though, I'd still argue that the US is leading the way in the dumbass Olympics. So, everywhere you look, you can see the same patterns. Distrust in reputable institutions, the collapse of shared truth, the elevation of competence over competence, and people yelling, "I did my research," like it's a holy incantation that replaces the need for actual evidence, is global and it's growing because the conditions that feed anti-intellectualism are now international, thanks to the internet for the most part. When every half-baked opinion gets the same platform as expertise, you get this weird flattening of truth. Everyone has a megaphone now. Everyone's a guru. Everyone's an expert in something until they're not. And that brings us to the Dunning-Kruger effect, a term that was mentioned in roughly half the comments, maybe more. I should have made bingo cards. So, for those unfamiliar, the Dunning-Kruger effect is a psychological phenomenon where people with low ability at a task overestimate their own competence. Basically, the less you know, the more you think you know. And, this it isn't new. David Dunning and Justin Kruger published the first study on this in 1999. But the concept is pretty old. Socrates said, "The only true wisdom is knowing you know nothing," which is a polite way of saying most people are full of shit. Twist, though, is that the internet amplifies the Dunning-Kruger effect, as it does with everything. In the past, if you were clueless, you'd embarrass yourself at a dinner party, and maybe someone would gently tell you to shut the hell up. But now, you post confidently on social media, get 500 likes, and a brand deal with a supplement company. That fake confidence gets rewarded now. It goes viral, maybe it even gets monetized. And suddenly, stupidity isn't just tolerated, it's marketable. We live in a time where sounding right is more important than being right, where the performance of intelligence has replaced the practice of it. And it's not about facts, it's about feelings. It's not about learning, it's about appearing informed in 15-second clips with dramatic music in the background. We are in an epidemic of what I call certainty addiction. Everyone needs to be right all the time about everything, even when they're completely, gloriously, magnificently wrong. And look, I get it. The world is a shit show of confusion. Nothing makes sense. We're all scared, angry, disoriented, sleep deprived, and generally haunted by the ghost of student loan or credit card debt. Certainty feels good. It gives us some structure. It makes us feel less powerless in a world that increasingly feels like it's being run by a bunch of sleep-deprived psychopaths with stock portfolios. But clinging to certainty in the face of overwhelming complexity, that's not bravery, that's delusion. Okay, so where does this leave us? You know, we've got a civilization that's sort of still functioning, like an old vending machine rattling, blinking, and occasionally spitting out a granola bar when you ask for a Tylenol. And we're surrounded by information, but starved for wisdom. We have the tools of progress, but no instruction manual. And, you know, worst of all, we have billions of people who are constantly bombarded with headlines and hashtags and outrage and dopamine triggers, but very little time, energy, or mental health left to think clearly. And when people are overwhelmed, they fall back on tribalism, which brings us back to the two-party illusion. Now, look, I said it in the first video, and I'll say it again with the same dead-eyed conviction this time. Yes, both political parties in the U.S. have contributed to the erosion of intellectual culture. And I know that statement pisses some people off. I know some of you think that it's a false equivalency. But here's what I actually mean. No, the two parties are not morally or intellectually identical. Yes, some are clearly worse offenders than others. But let's zoom out. The system itself is broken. And that's what I want to focus on. Because when we're trapped in a binary, left versus right, blue versus red, science versus freedom, real America versus woke agenda, and so on and so forth, we stop thinking critically and start thinking competitively. We don't analyze ideas. We just end up defending our side. And it's not about truth anymore. It's about keeping score. You know, points for our team, points for our brand, points for our moral superiority. And throughout all this, the people at the top who are observing from their ivory towers and who are profiting off of this dysfunction, they love it. Because nothing keeps the power structure stable like a bunch of peasants embroiled in a war. In the big picture, it's not a false equivalency. It's a rigged game. You know, divide and conquer isn't just a military strategy. It's a business model. And the more we all buy into it, the more we cannibalize what little sanity we have left. Culture wars have been insidiously fabricated over many years to distract us from class divide and ultimately a class war. This is not to say that what's happening in the culture war isn't horrifying, but that's a separate issue in a separate video. Now, about that whole Reddit epidemiology line, yeah, that got a lot of responses. Here's what I meant, and maybe I'll say it in a less punchable way this time. I know, science has problems sometimes. It's not always honest. There's corruption, there's, you know, profit motives, bad studies funded by worse corporations. Believe me, I've read the receipts. But here is the irritating truth. If your house is on fire, you don't want the guy who watched a YouTube video about fire safety. You want a firefighter. You want someone who trained, studied, practiced, and made it their profession. Because, I believe professions, flawed and human as they are, still matter. Without some level of social trust and expertise in process, skill, we don't have a civilization. We just have vibes and maybe a drum circle or something. The issue isn't that people are questioning authority. I mean, that's healthy, that's necessary. The issue is how they're doing it with no standards and an algorithm feeding their worst instincts. So when every opinion is treated as equal, it kind of flattens everything. A 20-year virologist is just another voice in a comment section. And we've confused equality of worth with equality of knowledge. You matter, your life matters, but your opinion on CRISPR gene editing isn't equally valid just because you have Wi-Fi and an attitude. Okay, so how do we fix this? Well, we don't. Not all of it. Not overnight. But I think we can do something. And here are a few brutally honest, semi-functional solutions. All right, number one, normalize saying, "I don't know." Seriously, it should be sexy. Make humility hot again. The smartest people I've ever met said, "I don't know," more often than anyone else. Number two, teach media literacy like it's CPR. Every 12-year-old should know how to Google a claim, cross-check source, and identify the difference between a study and a meme. Number three, reward curiosity, not certainty. Start conversations with, "What do you think?" End them with, "That's something I'll look into." The goal shouldn't be to win, it's to learn and it's to listen. Number four, stop worshiping personalities. Politicians, influencers, podcasters, they're not messiahs. If someone acts like they have all the answers, run. They're just trying to sell you something, usually protein powder. Number five, talk to people outside your echo chamber. And I know that this is getting difficult these days. And it's uncomfortable to do this sort of stuff. Try to do this not to convert anybody, but just to understand them. Does anyone remember when we used to talk to people we disagreed with over coffee instead of trying to ruin their lives online? Or maybe I'm just getting old because, back in the day, you'd go to a coffee house and that's what people did. Not everybody wasn't on a device like they are now. All right, number six, unplug sometimes. I mean, I've said this a lot in my videos. Step away, read a book, go for a walk, make soap. You don't have to know everything all the time. Because intelligence isn't really about knowing more than everyone else. It's about knowing enough to be humble and curious and ultimately sane. You know, maybe if enough of us started doing that, I don't know, you know, we'll probably still be doomed, but at least we'll be self-aware about it. And, you know, self-awareness is an essential practice in society. Thanks for watching.